the type of weather that I enjoy. I almost wore my jacket this morning too, and I just found it too hot. And I'm also finding that I may have put on a little weight too. I might need to hit the tailor a little bit as well. But anyways, this morning, if you can remember a couple weeks ago, I guess 3 weeks ago, I believe at this point, I had preached a sermon on faith, and we went through and really thinking of the scripture reading in Hebrews 11. We talked of different examples, and really Hebrews 11, and I know Tim had to try to stop himself, but he could have read through the whole chapter, and it would have fit really well to see all of the examples and understanding why those examples are brought up in Hebrews 11. But we went through four different examples of men with great faith in the Bible, and if you can think back, and I'd like us to kind of go back to that and try to remember, and if you don't, and maybe you weren't here, that's okay, we'll kind of go over that real briefly, but really, Hebrews 11 really sums up that lesson, and I probably could have made it much quicker just by reading Hebrews 11 and leaving it at that. But we went through these men of great faith in the Bible, and we mentioned Noah and Job and Joseph and Paul, these being a few of the examples we can see in the Bible of men of great faith and seeing their faith. And Hebrews 11, as Tim read that a moment ago for us, we can see that the reason why it is so important to see this great faith and the men of that have led a great example of great faith in the Bible is to see how much it did for them. It's by faith Noah built the ark. It is by faith, understanding that he had faith that what God said was going to come true. And it's because of that faith that Noah obeyed. And it's because of that faith that Noah was kept close to God. And it's because of that faith that Job persevered through all of the trials and suffering and tribulation that he went through. It is by that faith that Job went through all of that without cursing God, without sinning against God, without really being upset with God for the things that had happened. It's by faith that Job was able to get through all of that. And it's by faith that Job was still a servant of God. And it's by faith that Joseph, even knowing that all of these evil things had happened to him and understanding all of these terrible things that he had gone through, that his brothers hated him so much that they sold him to a Pharaoh. And all of the bad things that happened to him along the way. But it led him to where he was. And he had faith the entire time that all of this was God's plan. And even though, and we even mentioned, even though he had the power at one point to punish his brothers and be angry with his brothers for what they had done, he knew that it was because of his faith that he was able to persevere through all of that. And it was because of his faith in God that he didn't use that power to persecute his brothers, although he had really every right to be angry with them. It was because of his faith he knew that God had a plan, that God was going to carry out that plan, regardless of what kind of trials and what kind of suffering he might have had to go through. And just thinking of a young boy being sold to this strange man, taking you by your own brothers, and all of the evil things that would have happened to him along the ways, and all of the scary things that he would have endured. It's amazing. And it's because of his faith that he was able to persevere through that. It's because of his faith that he was a servant of God as well. And also mentioning Paul, we brought up Paul and the faith that he had, and the faith that even though there were men that wanted to kill him and there were men that wanted to persecute him, it's because of his faith that he stayed strong, he stayed close to God, and no matter what kind of persecutions came his way, he persevered, he went forward. He kept on driving the same message that Christ is our Savior. And it's because of his faith in Christ, his faith in God, keeping that faith, kept him a servant of God. And also something that we kind of left off with was ways to practice that faith. We looked at these examples in the Bible and we understand how they can be an encouragement to us. But understanding what faith is, and Hebrews 11 mentions that very well, that it's because of that faith that we can really be united with God. It's because of that faith. But ways to practice that faith sometimes can be difficult. And we mentioned briefly ways that we can practice that faith. And today I want to expand on those ways that I had mentioned a few weeks ago. The first one being prayer. I really want us to look into really how and why we ought to pray, and also the power of prayer. The power that we have to be able to speak to our God, it is amazing. And we'll dive into that a little bit this morning. As well as reading. We mentioned reading. We mentioned reading the scriptures. It is important for us to read the scriptures. We talk about that a lot, and we even come together to read the scriptures, to study the scriptures, to understand the scriptures. that understanding strengthens our faith, and we'll talk a lot about that, the importance of reading and the strength that we can get from it. And also surrounding ourselves with godly influences, whether that be the people that we have around us or even just maybe music or entertainment of any sort. The things that we surround ourselves with can really either destroy our faith or strengthen our faith. And it's very important for us to focus on that. So we'll kind of look into being careful of what and who we surround ourselves with. And the last thing that we mentioned as another way to practice our faith is being joyful. Being joyful in times of trial, joyful in times of sorrow. Knowing who God is and knowing that God has a plan through all things, whether it be evil. And we can look at the examples of the men that we brought up, Noah and Job and Joseph and Paul. All of those men had things that were terrible in their lives, things that were so much more persecution than we could probably imagine going through because of our faith. And there's so much that they went through, but they were able to persevere. So even in times of trials, times of suffering of any kind, it's important to be joyful. And we'll talk about the impact of being joyful, not only to others around us, but also to our own faith and how that can really strengthen our faith. So first, mentioning prayer and understanding prayer. If you want to turn with your in your Bibles with me, I'll be turning to a few scriptures, or if you can read it on the screen behind me, it will be up there as well. But first, in Matthew chapter 6, I want to look at Matthew chapter 6 and see what Jesus said about prayer and understanding prayer in our walk in faith, understanding what that prayer is and how powerful it is. But this is when Jesus mentions what we call the Lord's Prayer, and he's bringing this up to his disciples so that they can understand how to pray. And before that, he mentions these things in Matthew chapter 6. Starting at verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And then after this, he goes into what we know as the Lord's Prayer and kind of a structure of prayer, which that can be important with understanding how to pray. But when we think of the power of prayer and how we ought to act when praying, Jesus starts off by mentioning not to be like those who are hypocrites. And that word hypocrites is something that really comes from the same idea of someone who is an actor, someone who's faking. If you think of someone who's acting in a movie or in a play, anything like that, they're really faking who they are. They're lying to you so that they're a different character. Not in the same sense. But they are. They're faking who they are to be someone else. So don't fake who you are. Don't be like these people who are fake about their prayer. Don't be like them and pray out on the street corner so that people think that they're a man of prayer. They think that they're so great. Because look at them, they're praying. They're praying out loud for everyone to see. Man, they are God. But he says, don't be like that. And he's not saying you can't pray in public. But not to pray in a way that's so fake and trying to get everyone's attention. And really, the same goes with practicing our faith. Not to practice our faith in a way that we try to get everyone else's attention and praying or practicing our faith in this way that's going to make others look at us and think that we're something special or that we're just so much better, or even lying to ourselves and really kind of faking ourselves that we're better than we truly are. Not to be like that, because we're seeking a reward of approval of men, not an approval of God. So when you pray, don't be like a hypocrite. Don't be one that acts, one who fakes the way that you're praying. Don't seek attention from men, but seek attention from God. And he also goes on to say not to try to sound maybe smart or maybe eloquent in your prayers. I know that there's kind of a pressure, especially when praying in public, not to kind of sound dumb. You don't want to sound like you just don't know anything. But the way that you speak to God is powerful. It's not something that you have to try to make yourself sound smarter than you are or better than you are. God knows you. And he even goes on to say that in verse 8, not to be like these people because God knows what you need before you ask him. So it's not to try to make up these fancy phrases, to try to sound smart or try to sound very compelling to others, to try to sound maybe more faithful than you really are or more godly than you really are. Just talk to God. You don't have to fake who you are. God accepted you. And not only God, but his people are now one with God. They also accept you. So you don't have to try to fake and try to make these prayers that sound so in-depth and going on with these long prayers. There's many times, and maybe one example is thinking of even Daniel in the lion's den. You know, you think of times in your life where you really don't have a lot of time to pray. I think I've heard of them called as bullet prayers. These prayers that are very quick, very snappy, much to the point. The prayers don't have to be long for God to understand what you need. He already knows what you're going to ask of him. So not trying to be fake about your prayers, not to try to be like a hypocrite or someone who is acting, but to focus on why you're praying. Focus on the importance of that prayer. And that's how we can focus on our faith, is praying, and praying in a way that is going to strengthen our faith, not in a way that's going to weaken our faith by pretending that we're better than we really are, or trying to pretend that we're more godly than we really are. And when we look back and see, I believe here in Matthew chapter 6 as well, that the disciples come to Jesus and they're asking him how to pray. Now, that seems like maybe a silly question, that how to pray. Well, you pray, don't you? Or have you not prayed in your life? Prayer is not something new. You should already know how to pray, right? But that's not how Jesus responds to them. Jesus responds to them in a way he's very loving and very tender about this. And there's a reason why he responds in this way and explains to them how to pray. And he goes into depth. There's a reason why he does that. Because it's not silly to try to strengthen your prayer life. In Luke 11, the disciples even ask how to pray. And we see that in Luke 11 as well, the way that Jesus responds, and he goes into this description here in Matthew 6, and also in Luke 11 is the same account where he also goes into the Lord's Prayer and shows them the structure of prayer, the things to pray. And the way that he comes to them with this is very loving, very tender. And we see the reason why he responds to this in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14, it says, "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every aspect, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So the reason why Jesus was very tender and loving with his response was because there is such power in prayer. And it is important that they understand exactly how to pray, because that prayer is very powerful. And now understanding that we now have a great high priest who is Jesus. He is the one that we confess to. He is the one that we go to God through. And it's through Jesus. Understanding that. And understanding the power behind that. And understanding that Jesus, the reason why he was not harsh with them, he didn't tell them that this is a silly question, that they already should know how to pray, is because he can sympathize. Isn't that amazing? It's one thing to think of maybe thinking of a king or some kind of earthly ruler. Maybe here in the United States, we have a president who is kind of supposed to be the chief overall. And even local authorities, people who most of the time they've grown up in wealth. They've grown up in these situations where they really haven't had to deal with the same things that maybe you and I as working class people would have to go through. They didn't have to have this success because it may have been something that was handed down to them through generations. Many of them may have even been born into these politics. So they don't quite have the same understanding. They can't really sympathize with how you feel about certain situations in your life. because they haven't been there. They haven't gone through that. But that's an amazing thing about Jesus, is that he has come to earth. He has come in the flesh. We talked a lot about that in this morning's Bible class. Jesus came in the flesh. He was tempted. He wasn't some kind of superhuman that had no temptations. He had those temptations. And the same thing with prayer. He understands that prayer is not as easy as it seems. It is something that's hard to understand. It's hard to fathom that me speaking can reach a ruler, a deity such as God. And it is amazing that we can go to Jesus in prayer. It's amazing that we can go to him and he understands. God understands our weaknesses. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. And that really is amazing. That's something that's very powerful to understand that. And so it's because of that. It's because we know that we are going to Jesus who can sympathize with us that we can go to him in prayer with confidence, that we can receive this grace and this mercy that he has offered to us. And I really want to hint in on verse 16, the end of verse 16 there. And he says that, let me start off there where he says that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when we are in a time of need, when we need help, whether that be physically or mentally or spiritually, whatever aspect that may be, we can have confidence that we're going to get that through Christ because he knows what it is like to live as a human on this earth, to be tempted as human on this earth. He knows that, yet he didn't sin. And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to recognize the power of prayer. And it's important for us to recognize the power of prayer. It's very important. So, of course, prayer absolutely is a way that we can practice our faith. Our faith in Christ and our faith that our prayer is going to be heard and our the faith that that prayer is going to strengthen us spiritually, that we can go to him in a time of need. But also reading, and we talked about reading both being in scripture and also reading being in maybe things like devotionals or commentaries. And we'll kind of get into maybe some things to be careful of when reading things such as those. But let's go over to Psalm. The book of Psalms, Psalm 119, starting at verse 103, a very long psalm. But here the psalmist writes, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So this word that we are supposed to read, the word of Christ, the word of God, that we're supposed to read, the scriptures, they're so important because the psalmist, here he writes how sweet they are. They're sweeter than honey to my mouth. Sweeter than honey. And all of these things, when we gain understanding, we can see that this word is like a lamp to our feet. This lamp is something that can guide us in our walk in faith. It can guide us. Without these scriptures, without understanding God's word, and without reading God's word, we don't have that guidance that the psalmist writes about, this lamp. If you think of walking through a dark room or a dark house that you're not familiar with, you're probably going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to run into things, maybe stub a toe. You're going to, because you don't recognize it, it's dark. But with a lamp, it can guide your way. It brightens up the way. And you can see that. And so by reading God's word, by understanding his word, we know false ways and we know the true way. We know the way that we're supposed to be led. And his word can be that light to our path. It can be that thing that guides us on our path as Christians and guides us closer to him. It guides us in our faith. And the way that we walk in faith, it strengthens us. It helps us on our path. And over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Jake just preached a sermon on this. And understanding, I'm getting ahead of myself. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." was jumping on to our next thought here, but here with this faith, it comes by hearing. Without hearing God's word, without hearing what the truth is, without hearing the truth of who God is and the truth of who Christ is, we can't have the faith in it. How can you have faith in something that you haven't heard? Hearing the word of Christ gives us this faith. It strengthens our faith. It has to be the word of Christ as well. I think that's important to notice here at the end of verse 17. It's important to notice that it is the word of Christ that gives us this faith. Understanding that that word of Christ tells us who he is. That word of Christ tells us who we ought to be. It tells us how we ought to walk in our faith. And of course, when we see that, we know that, like I mentioned a moment ago, reading devotionals or commentaries, these are words of men. So to understand that they're words of men means that we have to be careful in backing up into Proverbs. And I'll go back in the slide as well so we can see this. He says in verse 104, "Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." So by reading the word, we understand the way that we ought to be walking. We understand the path that we ought to have, that we ought to be going down. And therefore, when we read these commentaries or devotionals, we will recognize when these words of men are according to the word of Christ and when they are not. So there, with that in mind, we know that what they're saying is according to the word of Christ, Christ's teachings. When we understand that, then we can gain a lot from things like that. So maybe when we're reading, not only reading the scriptures, because sometimes it can be difficult with our own understanding to read through the scriptures and understand what the scriptures might mean without maybe getting some sort of help. So when we're reading and when we're trying to gain an understanding and strengthen our faith by reading, we can look at all of these other things that might guide us in understanding the truth. But understanding that these things that we read always have to be based on the word of Christ. They cannot be words of men. They have to be really founded on the words of Christ. So reading, absolutely, will give us our faith, and it will strengthen our faith. Our faith in understanding who Christ is and what he did and why he did it. And another way to practice our faith is surrounding ourselves with influences that are going to be good. And this is the aspect that I was thinking that Jake preached a sermon on, was it last week or the week before? Last week. And really thinking of the way that others around us can really strengthen us. And Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26, it says, "One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." The one who is righteous. So those who are following God's word, those who have a strengthened faith in Christ, they're going to be a guide to his neighbor. So those around you are going to influence you. They're going to guide you. And if they're righteous, they're going to guide you in a good way. But he goes on to say, but the way of the wicked, those who don't pay attention to what Christ wants out of your life, they're going to lead you astray. So what you surround yourself with, whether it be people or just, like we mentioned, entertainment or anything that you have surrounding you, it's going to either lead you down the correct path and really influence you to go down the correct path, or if it's wicked, it will lead you astray. It will lead you further from God. So it is important to make sure that those that we're surrounding ourselves with and the things that we're surrounding ourselves with aren't going to lead us down wrong paths. That we are focused on God and what he wants from us. And going on into Proverbs chapter 27, this is a scripture that Jake brought up in his lesson and really kind of the foundation of his lesson. But iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. So when we think of those who are surrounding us, and we think of our walk and our faith, the way that we can practice our faith is making sure that we have others who are like iron, those who are strong in their faith. Iron is very strong. It's a very strong metal. It's very hard to bend. It's very, very difficult to break. It's very hard to cut through. There's times where we have things that are iron at work that we may have to drill through or we may have to cut, and it takes a lot of power out of you. If you have battery tools, it takes a lot of power out of them. Iron is a very, very strong metal. It's a very strong substance. So one that's strong in faith, that iron can sharpen other iron, so it can strengthen you in your faith. one man sharpens another. So being focused on those who are around us, being focused on the influences that we have around us, is very important to our faith, that it will strengthen our faith, making sure that, those things that are surrounding us aren't going to weaken our faith and lead us astray. And another way that we can really practice our faith, one that's very important in our daily lives, especially when going out into the world, maybe in our workplaces where we're surrounded by others that are lost. And this is something I know I've been kind of called out on before, maybe not called out in a bad sense, but people recognizing that I'm one that I don't look like I could get angry very easily. I have a baby face. So even when I am angry, it's kind of hard to take me seriously. But I do. I smile a lot. Even if I'm not having a bad, or if I'm not having a good day, I still try to smile a lot. That's not really something that I even really try to do anymore. It's just something that happens throughout my day. And people recognize that. People recognize joy in your life. And when they recognize why you have that joy, it can be very powerful. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 12, it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." So when bad things are happening to us, and specifically maybe even because of our faith, people, maybe you think of peer pressure and the way that, of course, everyone wants to be friendly to everyone else and they want everyone else to be friendly to them. It's not easy going throughout your day with people not liking you, especially just because you're different, because you live your life a little differently. You won't go out and be a part of the same parties that they would be a part of, maybe the same activities that they would be a part of, that you wouldn't be a part of the same conversations that they would be a part of. But don't be surprised when that kind of thing happens. Or even more severe, when they start to persecute you for it. When they start to really hurt you for it. And maybe even as far, and we can think of other parts of the world, especially today, where physical persecution comes upon you because of your faith. He says in verse 12, not to be surprised when this kind of thing happens to you as though something strange is happening to you. But to recognize that kind of trial, that kind of tribulation, that kind of suffering means that you are blessed. That is something that you can rejoice in because you have a strong faith that is not going to waver. You're going to be joyful and rejoice even when bad things come. And those trials can be so various in so many different ways. Many different things that we can struggle in our faith because of these trials and these sufferings that may be around us. And also in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." All things work together for good for those who are called together, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things. Not just good things. Not that the good things happen in our life so that good things can happen, but all things. That means even bad things. See, even if we are having a bad day, maybe we are having something bad happening in our lives, we're going to rejoice because all of these things work together for the greater good. When we recognize that, we recognize that no matter how bad this life can get, it can really stress us out with all of the bad things going on. But to know that all of that stress, all of that burden, we can really lay all of that on Christ. And backing up to what we mentioned a moment ago, that we can, in Hebrews, that we can lay that on Christ because he can sympathize with us. So when we rejoice, when we are joyful, even in times of persecution, even in times of suffering, whatever kind of suffering that may be, there's so many things that can get us down in this world and get us maybe stressed out. But it doesn't even matter, because all of those things are going to pass. And there's a greater good ahead of us, especially if we are strong in our faith, and especially if we find joy in that faith. So ultimately, being cheerful and finding joy even in those hard times, and especially in good times. Always finding joy. That is a great way to show your faith, not only to others, and have others see that joy in your life, for them to question what that joy is that's in your life, which is Christ, which is his eternal plan for you, his eternal plan that he set out for all of us. But it can also strengthen your faith. It can help you. Because when you get so bogged down in all of the cares and all the worries in this life, just remember, they don't matter. Nothing in this life matters. And that's where ultimately I always go back to Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes writer tells us that none of this stuff matters. All of this is going to fade away. All of it is like a vapor in the wind. It's going to pass away. But what doesn't pass away is our faith. What doesn't pass away is the way that we practice our faith and our relationship with God, and understanding that all things are going to work together for the greater purpose of God, the purpose that he has set out for you. That's what's important. So when we think about faith and the ways that we can practice our faith, it's important to practice that faith daily, not to let a single day go by without practicing that faith, to make sure that we are strong in that faith. So maybe you need other ways to try to practice that faith. Hopefully these are some ways that can help us. There's just a small list of just four different ways that we can practice that faith, and something that's easy to do in each and every day of our lives. But it's important for us to try to find any way that we can to practice that faith, to express that faith, not to be a hypocrite, not to be fake about our faith, but to be stronger in our faith, to grow closer to God. Maybe you feel that you are in a place where you're strong in your faith. It's important for you to reach out to others. Make sure that they're strong in their faith. Maybe you're weak in your faith and you feel very weak in your faith. That's okay. That's not a bad thing. We recognize that that's going to happen. And even God himself, Christ, was man. He was tempted. He can sympathize with you. He understands that there's times that are going to weaken your faith. And that's all right. But it's not all right to keep that to yourself. It's not all right to keep that bottled in. What's all right is that you're weak in your faith, but you're willing to come to a brother or sister in Christ, or even if you don't feel comfortable at that point yet, to go to God in prayer, to understand that he's willing to hear you, strengthening your faith by practicing. So maybe you are walking in your faith, and you're struggling, and you need help with your faith. We encourage you not to put that off any longer. We have a time of an invitation to those who may be struggling in their faith to let us know so that we can help you. Or maybe you realize that you haven't started your walk in that faith, and you recognize that that faith is important, and you want to take the next step in that faith, and of being baptized and being added to God's people. That's very important as well. So whatever it may be that you may have struggles with, whatever it may be that you need help with, we encourage you to do that now, not to put it off any longer, as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.